Bethel World Outreach Church. Reaching a city to touch the world.
Lord, we pray in the mighty name of Jesus as we get into this service today that you would help us to follow you, to know you, to bless you. You've been overwhelming. You deserve a moment of praise, a lifetime of praise and worship. God, so many have found calamity, even in Orlando, all these mass murders, 50 people murdered. God, we're praying for those families. We're praying for that city. We're praying, God, that this would be a moment where people turn to you, not away from you. That people don't look at the calamity and say, all is lost. They say, we need God. May the need of you be great in there and in this room and in this place. God, I'm asking that you would think through my mind and speak through my mouth. The words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be accepted in thy sight. You're my strength and redeemer, and every glad and happy heart say, amen. Glory to God. He's good. I bring you greetings here in this sanctuary and greetings in the upper venue and those watching by line. I want you to go to Philippians 1 and 6. Pastor Verbs, is that correct? Okay. And also Luke 14 and 25. We're going to jump right into the message. I want to say today that as part of our worship service, you will be going to the new facilities that should be done at the end of August, beginning of September. I mean, my God. And I said all along, it would take probably about 24 miracles, and we've had 21, and we got 3 miracles left. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I just think that we should not wait until something is all the way finished before we celebrate. The Bible says, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe you receive them and you shall have them. I believe we have a finished product, even though we've got things still to do, because it has to be done by faith. So I thank you guys for listening to the Lord and in hearing him. I hope today's message is inspirational to you. The Bible says in Philippians 1 and 6, he said, he who has began a good work in you will complete it. He is the Alpha and Omega. He's the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And though something may take you by surprise, it has never taken him by surprise. And you might be wondering how you're going to get out of a situation, but God says he knows the end from the beginning from the end. So he's very comfortable with where we're at individually, where we're at as a church, because he is working out all things according to the counsel of his will. Today, as we get into Luke 14, you're going to see 3 things very clearly. That when you come to God to be his disciple, that the cost is everything. Coming to him and being a disciplined one or being a servant means that you forfeit all your rights. And I know that the world has allowed us to believe that you can come to Christ for him to make your dreams come true. Hallelujah. The place, if you could get in the door, you can get the blessing to get whatever you want. But I'm sorry to tell you the real truth is, you come to Christ and it's an exchange. Your life produces eternal separation. The life he laid down to redeem yours, if you accept his lordship, produces eternal life. But you are now willfully his slave. Amen for being a slave of Jesus. Somebody said, oh, slave, that's strong. How about servant? That's okay. Slave, ooh. Well, that's the actual word used. I'm amazed as I go into the verse 25. It says, now great crowds accompanied him, and he turned and said to them, if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and wife and children and brothers and sisters, yes, and even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Contrary to popular belief, following Jesus from the pure sense of being a disciple means the abandonment of all. The first disciples called left everything. They even stated, Lord, we left everything. What did you hold on to when you said yes to the Lord? And what is he asking you to let go of? When you come to God, you're no longer the boss. You're no longer the dictator. What you need, not what he's not telling you to do here is hate your mama or your wife. Somebody said, I thought I'd get to hate her now. No, stop that. No, what he's saying in comparison to what he has for you to do, or in contrast, there is no competition. If it's his will or your child's will, his will wins. And believe it or not, when church, listen, our children go to school 5 days a week. We go to church one day, sometimes two, if you are a real faithful churchgoer. If you normal, you come every other week. And then the summers, once a month. And you laughing because you say, he trying to mess up my summer plans. Okay? But you can't compete with this world giving you all of their ideology. To come to God, you've got to be tutored by him and trained by him and surrendered to him. He has to invade all of your life, your TV time, your sports time, all the events that keep you away from church time. You don't have to say amen. It's true whether anybody says amen. That's why I don't like Captain America anymore. If you watch the movie, he's a horrible person. Captain, y'all like Captain. That's okay. I like Iron Man. Because Captain America chose his life and his family over everyone else. And it seemed noble, but it was selfish and self-serving. I'm telling you that to come to Jesus Christ, you've got to surrender everything and ask yourself the question, what does it profit a man to gain this world and yet lose his soul? It was so funny how I would boast that, you know, I'll give up anything for God. When I was reflecting upon how I got my girlfriends early in life, I would sing them all the song, same song. And by the way, I only had girlfriends for like a day because I would just tell them, look, nobody has to know. You could just say we dated. You know, I can say that, but it's only a date. You're off the hook after 24 hours. That was my whole rap. I know. I didn't get that one to you, baby. You was the real thing. Hallelujah. You know, I was like, I will cross the ocean for you. I will go and bring you the moon. I can be your hero, your strength, everything you need. So, I'll be singing that. And then I sung that to a girl once. And then we were on the public bus. And somebody confronted us, this grown man, 40. We were teenagers, grown man. She said, who hit me? He was standing over me and her. And I was like, oh. I just stayed in my seat. You see, we as humans boast about our ability to do so much for other people. But really, without Christ, without his empowerment, without his involvement, we are really stuck at being weak and feeble and incapable of all of the things that we boast, which are extraordinary anyway. Where does Christ land in your life when you say, come? When he says, come to me, come. When you come, he gets everything. Second part of this scripture says, whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. Now, I know that when you got saved, your perception was a life that's pain-free, a life that is stress-free, a life where everything finally goes right, a life where you feel God on the inside and you start getting the blessings on the outside, a life where that suffocating feeling that life can bring that makes you not want to live it. It dissipates and it goes away. Well, I've got news for you. When you get saved, when you come to God and make him Lord, then he tells you, pick up the cross, the instrument that's designed to kill your flesh, to suffocate your old man so that your new man can be alive, to surrender to the idea that God gave that we've been crucified with him, and nevertheless, not I, but Christ lives within me. To say what Paul says, that I die daily. I'm willing to pick up my cross and follow him. I'm count everything lost for the knowledge of Christ. And I know that the world promises you. I tried to make this deal with God before I got married. I said, Lord, I'm willing to get married if you make sure that I don't have to go through any of these pains. And I enumerated them. Lord, that's the deal. Now I know he couldn't have responded the way I said he did, because I thought we had an understanding that pain was not going to be a part of my marriage. Sacrifice and self-denial. No, not mine. You see, the cross is an instrument of pain. But when Jesus did it, he said, no man take my life, I lay it down to redeem. Then he said, for the joy that was set before me, I can endure the cross. See, you don't have the cross forced upon you now. You've got to pick up your own cross, not my cross. You got to pick up your own cross. Well, Lord, why do they get to do that and I don't? Well, that's not their cross. Because if you want to do group participation, then I think all y'all should have to live exactly like I have to live, because preachers get higher and stricter rules. And when we're mad, we try to give them to you. But I'm not going to do that today. Enjoy your liberties as I snuff out mine. I'm not an angry preacher. Cross. You know, it's amazing how a cross means you have a willing sacrifice. It's funny that when the lady came to Jesus with the perfume of great price, and she anointed his body before he went to the cross, there was voices saying, what a waste. Jesus is laying down his life on a cross to save ours, and she's anointing his body with something expensive and of great value to her, and Judas is saying, what a waste. You should have took those resources that are going to Jesus, who's laying his life down for the church, and you should have invested them in the poor. Jesus' response was, Judas, the poor you're going to have with you always. You only got me a little bit of time. What this woman is doing is good. Sacrificing for Jesus, preparing my body as I go and do work for the church is good. Whatever God is asking you to sacrifice for what he laid his life down for is good. I'm going to say it again. Y'all staring at me. Whatever he's asking you or me to lay down, whatever he's prompting your heart to do generously, that might be extravagant and wasteful to others, but for Jesus, it's meaningful. He said it's not a waste. In fact, he calls it good. Finally, I love the rest of this scripture. It's 14 and 28. For which of you, desiring to build a tower, does not first sit down and count the cost, whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all will see it and begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. Or what king, going out to encounter another king in war, will not sit down first and deliberate whether he is able with 10,000 to meet him who comes against him with 20,000? And if not, will the other, while the other is yet a great way off, he sends a delegation and asks for terms of peace. So therefore, anyone of you who does not renounce all that he has cannot be my disciple. No man having left father, mother, sister, brother, land, cattle for my sake and the gospel shall receive in this life 100-fold land, cattle, sister, brother, and eternal life. God is not in the business of taking and not repaying, but you have to start out with an attitude and disposition that you're no longer an owner, you're a steward. Take an appraisal today. The same appraisal that the rich young ruler had to do when being extended eternal life. He said, what do I lack? Ask God what you lack today when you get appraised. He says, yeah, you lack one thing. Sell everything you have and then come follow me. Now, that was his cross. That's not everybody's cross. And he says, after he made an appraisal of his life, he said he walked away sad because he had great possessions. He walked away from eternal life. He walked away from service. He walked away from discipleship because the cost, once appraised, was too high. I beg you today to consider the three things we're saying. When you come to Christ and you receive the free gift of eternal life, you receive it by claiming that he is not just Savior, but Lord. And therefore, you surrender rights to everything about you and your will. The next thing you do is find out what is it that you have to die to, that you have to do the work of killing it with a cross in your life in order to please Christ. And once you discover what all that stuff is, and you want to follow Christ, once you've appraised what the real cost is, don't be the rich young ruler in front of Jesus saying that eternal life is not worth the cost that you're asking me to pay. You know, hardly any of us will probably ever spend a life where God asks you for everything like that. These stories have some extreme points of view to them. It's a spirit he's after. He's after the whole of your heart. God is not a reckless. God is wise, who knows the end from the beginning. And if he asks us in coming to him to take up a cross and understand the cost, it's not to give us less, it's always to give us more. As you bow your heads today, pray with me. Lord, I pray in the mighty name of Jesus that we would not just be hearers of the word, but that we would be doers, that you would help us in these moments to hear you very clearly and proclaim, if we never have before, your Lord. To say, if we're saints, we'll take up our cross. And there's no cost too high for us disciples to pay. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. You know, church, we're about to enter into a moment where we're going to actually take a tour of the new facility and online. We didn't forget about you. We have a tour ready for you as well. But as we go, I encourage you, you're going to be getting a small slip of paper about the size of a bookmark with an opportunity to plug yourself in. There's a lot of holes because it's a construction site that we're looking in. But I want to ask you, what hole will you fill? What hole will you fill when we move in? There's going to be a brief video that we're about to play. So turn your direction to the screen. And Pastor James has a word
before
for you.
I forgot one thing just to tell you guys. At the end of the tour, please pray throughout the tour. I mean, you can talk and have fun, but pray. Pray for the lost people. Pray for what we're doing. And then see what we have left to finish. And say, Lord, I'm going to do my part right there. Don't forget that God does things and then he gives us the opportunity to partner with him. This is something our church is doing together because God has given us a word about harvest. And so please include yourself. Please give. If you haven't given or if you are still trying to figure out whatever, let God speak to you. But give. We're going to be moving in, Lord willing, end of August or September. Let's all say we all did our part. Give a dollar today just to say you did your part. Give a million. Somebody should have said, amen. I can't give it today, but Lord, I just believe in it for a million. Okay, you finish with the video.